Hallelujah. How many of you know the Lord is good? Amen. His presence is in the house. Woo! It's been too long since we've been here, and it's just so good to see everyone and so good to be with Pastor Ed and Pastor Greg and his pretty wife, Phyllis, and so good to be with you guys and so good to be with Rose and especially triply wonderful to be with Pastor Sarah. And we just love you so much, and it's such an honor to be back with you guys. I have such respect for you guys as pastoral staff. I love them, believe in all of them, and I have a couple of stories that Pastor Sarah probably doesn't even remember, that she spoke into my life and helped me many times when I was on the road with Brother Hagin in the Crusades, and I would step out and flow in the Spirit, and I would do some things, and you know how people sometimes can make you feel bad. And I'll never forget one particular night, Brother Hagin was speaking, and he was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit being in operation in the church. And as he was speaking, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden I get in my heart, oh, lumps, cysts, growths, tumors, cancers are going to fall off of people tonight. And so I'm thinking, Dad's going to call that out. And then he goes, Philip, come over here. You take it from here. And then Philip took the service, and he goes, well, now, Dad, I don't have it, but I know who has it. And I was sitting there going, And he goes, Leanne, you've got it. And I remember thinking, I've never done this yet in one of Dad's meetings. I'm not going to do this. I'm freaking out right now. Is it okay to say freaking out? And so I'll never forget it. I walked up to the platform and I looked at Dad and I told him, I said, well, Dad, you were teaching on this. And as I was sitting there, I thought you were going to call out cysts, you know, tumors, growths. If you have cancer of any kind, come on down. We'll lay hands on you. And he just looked at me and he goes, you know, kind of did his. And I was like, oh my goodness, here we go. And I think close to 500 people came down in that service to have hands laid on them. And when I stepped down off the platform, the anointing was so strong that I ran with it. And meaning I ran laying hands on people, and people were just flying all over the place. And the ushers were working hard, and people were getting up, and tumors had disappeared. And it was just, it was fun. I so enjoyed it. But you know how your head can work on you after a service? And I started thinking, well, I just didn't do that right. I should have done it like this. I should have done it like that. And, you know, I was getting after myself. And the next morning, I'll never forget it, because I walked in to do, I was getting ready to do the music for the worship service. And there was Clinton and Sarah Utterbach sitting right there where I was going to put my books. And then I went over to him, and of course, Pastor Clinton started talking to me. He goes, girl, you Pentecostal, you know, and so we started talking music. And it was a lot of fun. And then Pastor Sarah stood up, and she got right up in my face, and she said, Leanne, that was good last night. And I looked at her and I go, oh. She goes, what's wrong with you? I go, well, I felt like some people thought that I probably didn't do it right or blah, 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 you know. And she goes, and this is what she said to me. She said, they'd have to be blind and half stupid not to see the anointing on you last night. He goes, she told me, she said, forget them. Forget them. You obey God. And you did obey God. She's like a mama, isn't she? She got up all in my grill. And when she did, I was like, yes, ma'am. And I mean, it changed me completely, because I had been just dogging myself. And she, man, she put me in place. She's done, how many of you can say she's put you in your place a time or two? Aren't you glad she did? Hallelujah. So anyway, Pastor Sarah, I sure do love you. Sure do believe in you. And thank you for speaking into all of our lives so many years and many more years to come. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, well, guys, it's just an honor to be with you again. I'm so happy my husband Jerry's able to be with us again today and in the conferences this week. And, you know, just listening to last night's service, I got to hear some of it last night. I didn't get to hear Annie's this morning because we were traveling, and I didn't get to hear Kevin's on Sunday because we were in church. And so I was like, but last night it was awesome. He's really taking my notes and really starting to preach them good. It's amazing. It's amazing, Jim. Thank you. I appreciate it. You know what? Kevin's saying amen. He has been preaching. You know, Jim goes around and collects everybody's sermon notes. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't. He's 60 and he has the right to claim his own messages, I guess. So now. Yes. Okay, I'm going to be nice and I'm not going to be mean, but it sure is fun to be with Kevin and Annie and to be with Aaron and Jim, and it's just fun. You know what's wild? I don't know if Jim told you guys this, but you know, we do prayer school live now, and we do it on Monday nights. How many of you have ever listened to it? Yeah, quite a few of you. And if you haven't, all you have to do is go to Facebook, get on Jim's page, my page, or just type in prayer school live on Monday night. 7 o'clock central, so it would be what here? 8 o'clock. And which in about 3 minutes, it's getting ready to start. And so Prayer School Live is going to be with us tonight. And so that's going to be a lot of fun. But I encourage you guys to jump on sometime. I'll never forget it. Jim and I don't even remember when we did this. When we were doing a Prayer School Live, we were praying and something. Then we started praying for Redeeming Love in this conference. And as we were praying, because it wasn't on our agenda that night to pray, because this was quite a few months ago. And as we were praying, we started praying out. I don't know if Jim said it or if I said it, trio, trio, trio. And I thought, well, that's funny, you know, because the trio, Jim, Annie, and myself, and how that we all three can sing, but we never sing together, which we should. That's just my opinion. But anyway, because we've all sang in the Rhema Singers and Band, but I just thought it was funny how that God called us the trio. And we've done three of these so far. This is our third one. And each one we've done has just at the Fredericks Church. We had so much fun in Connecticut. And then in Kissimmee, Florida with the Estradas. It was just a wonderful time in the Lord. And I just know God is going to do some marvelous things tonight with the trio. And so they don't know it. No, I'm kidding. I was going to say, I'm going to speak for 5 more minutes and then they get to go. But they have told me it's my turn tonight. But we'll see if the Holy Ghost says differently. What do you guys think? Because we're supposed to be flowing with him, right? We're being led by the Spirit of God. And so I know we got to stay on our toes. If you ever worked with Jim Hockaday before, if you don't stay on your toes, you get it later. I'll never forget it. Years ago in prayer school there on campus at Rhema, I had just led the praise and worship, and he had come up to do prayer school, the service. And I'm thinking, I'm getting ready to step down off the platform. And he looks at me. Well, first he told everybody, he goes, there's a tongue and interpretation here today, like he kind of did last night. And I'm standing behind him. I'd been working with him for a few years, maybe 2 years if that. And I'm standing behind him and I'm thinking, oh, good. You know, and then he goes, Kathy Mink. How many of you know who Kathy Mink is? The Minks with Kenneth Copeland. They used to sing forever with them, you know, and stuff. But anyway, Kathy was a student at Rhema this year and that year. And he said, Kathy, you've got the interpretation. And then he turned and looked over his shoulder at me. Leanne, you've got the tongue. No, it's quite the opposite. He told Kathy she had the tongue and I had the interpretation. And when he said that, I looked at him and thought, no, I don't. No, I don't. But I knew I better do it or he's going to get me later. Now he would say, Leanne, you make me sound like I'm mean or something. Well, not mean. Oh, he's nicer now that he's 60, he says. How old was he there? In his 40s, probably, back then. He was like 40-something, who knows. But anyway, he said, you have the interpretation, Leanne. And I'm thinking, dear God, no, I don't. I want the tongue. The tongue is easy. You know, and then Kathy Meek begins to do the tongue. And on the inside, I started saying, oh, go long, go long, go long, Kathy. And then I thought, no, don't do that. I've got to interpret it longer then. And I didn't know what the interpretation was. And I had never done an interpretation before. And I wanted to say that he was cuckoo, or I wanted to faint. I wanted to do anything to get off of that platform. How many of you have ever been put in a situation that you were like, oh, dear God, get me out of this? You know, and so I so wanted to get out of it so fast, but I couldn't. I had all these students looking at me, and here's our fearless leader telling me that I have the interpretation of the tongue. And so Kathy finishes up, and then I stood there, and I began to speak in tongues. And Jim turned around and looked at me, and he goes, no. He's not mean, though. He's not mean. But it sure felt mean. But it wasn't mean. But anyway, he said, he just looked at me and he goes, no. And I knew what, I felt like he was my daddy at that point. He's old enough almost to be my dad, you know. Why are you laughing? You know he's old enough to be my daddy. I'm only 40, you know. I'm 30, okay? Okay, that would have been really weird if he was my dad. There's only 5 years between us. So anyway, but guys, long story short, I'll never forget standing there and him turning around saying no. And I knew that I now had to interpret what was said. And then on the inside of me, I said, Father, I believe in my leader. And if he says I've got it, then I've got it. And when I did that, all of a sudden, I had one word. And I remember Brother Hagin saying, oh, if you get one word, just say it. And then there'll be another word. Then there'll be another word. And so that's what I did. I had one word. I spoke it. And then there was another word. And I said it. And then there was another one. And I said it. And as I kept saying every word I was hearing, I wasn't placing the words together. So I had no clue what I was saying. And so I remember when I was done, Jim did give me like, I was like, oh, he approves. I'm going to go sit down now. And then I remember sitting there thinking, what did I just say? Did it make sense? Because it was the first time I'd ever done it, and I was having to step out by faith. And guys, let me tell you something. Sometimes we make the things of God so difficult when we should not be doing that. You know, it's easy to hear him. It's easy to flow with him. It's easy to step out. I mean, even praying tonight about the meeting. Tonight. I mean, God will give you knowings throughout the day. He'll give you ideas and thoughts about what the message is supposed to be on sometimes. And a lot of times, being an inspirational speaker, I won't know what I'm going to speak on till I get in the pulpit. And then when I'm there, there it comes. But he mentioned a few things to me. But see, it's so faint, that still small voice, that we think, oh, that's just me thinking that. When guys, God, how many of you can say God is your reality? Is he your reality? He is your life. He's your world. He's your song. He's your purpose for living, you know, and it's just so important for us to look to him as a relational, a relationship. I know my husband. I know when I say something that's going to aggravate him, I know how to make things be awesome because I know his personality. I know his temperament. Yesterday he came in, he goes, I can't remember what he goes, it's just one of those days. And I immediately knew, oh no. And he said, I just cut the cord to the weed eater or something. He goes, I cut the cord. And I go, oh, well, you can buy another one. And just kind of made light. And what did that do for his personality? It made him go, yeah, I can. Instead of him wanting to go, oh, you know, because I've learned his personality. You know, we're supposed to be helpmates, right? And we're supposed to help our spouses. And I know there are times when I'm walking through something, he knows exactly what to say, how to handle me. And you know, our Father God knows how to handle us if we let him. Jerry doesn't have to let me handle him. He could have looked at me and said, no, I'm ticked off, Leanne, that I completely cut the, what was it, a cord or something. A big extension cord that he had bought years ago. And now he had to go buy another one, you know. And I was like, oh, it's probably time for you to get a new one anyway, you know. And you know, because of the relationship, I knew how to speak to him. And he took it. Is it okay that I'm saying this, honey? He received it. He received it. You know, and it helped him. You know, how much more our Father God in our relationship with him knows our heart, knows our temperament, if we would pay attention to him. If we would pay attention to our Father that desires such intimacy with us, that desires fellowship with us, we make life way too hard. I'm going to tell you right now, don't make life so hard. We stress about the most ridiculous things. Am I right, guys? Let's not stress about COVID. Please give me a break. I remember the other day I was walking in doing something and the Spirit of God said to me, you know, this COVID thing isn't as bad as everybody's talking. And I'm like, I know. You know, and we've got to listen to the heart of the Father and not the heart of the news, right? We can't listen to what the enemy is speaking so much. We've got to make sure we're tuned into heaven. You know, we used to sing an old Pentecostal song, call him up, tell him what you want. How many of you sung that before? You know, back then as a little Pentecostal kid with my tambourine and the church was swaying. I mean, it was swinging. I mean, you talk about you could come down into the neighborhood where the church was and you could hear the music a block away. And we were singing, swinging to the songs, if not dancing to the songs. You know, Sister Juanita and all her bobby pins, she'd shout them all out. And, you know, I mean, we just had church, but we would get in there and just sing, glory, hallelujah. I've laid my burdens down. Man, I'm feeling better. You know, it's okay to feel. It's okay to have some feelings about the presence of God. You know, if you get a goosebump, oh no, I'm not going to be moved by that goosebump of heaven. No, I can't. Are you kidding me? How many of you enjoy that? I enjoy sensing his presence, you know? I'll never forget it as a kid when I was a Rhema student. My first year of Rhema back in 1984, I'll never forget waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning and the room was completely filled with fog, smoke. I couldn't see anything. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, is the place on fire? And I thought, let me just get to the hallway. We might need to evacuate this apartment building. And so I got to the hallway and I looked down the hallway and there was a light shining through all this smoke, but it didn't smell like smoke. And so I went down to the end of the hallway and there I found in my living room that was on the second floor that didn't have an elevator, a lady sitting in a wheelchair and Brother Hagen standing beside her, and he put his hand out towards me to come to him. And I'll never forget it. I thought, okay, how's Brother Hagen in my apartment? And we'll have this lady get in here on a wheelchair. It's the second floor, no elevator. And all these thoughts, how many of you women can say you can have a lot of thoughts in 1 second, all right? So all these thoughts were going through my mind and Brother Hagen reached out to me and I walked over to him. And when I did, I remember I began to pray for this lady. And just like that, boom, I'm sitting back in my bedroom on my bed. The smoke is gone, which later, you know, of course we knew it was the glory. I'm sitting there and I had Holy Ghost goosebumps all over. I'm telling you what, it was just goosebump city. And I remember sitting there going, oh, about it? And I'm praying real quiet in tongues because I had a roommate that had a twin bed over on the other side of the room. And I didn't want to wake her up. And man, I'm just sitting there going, oh, but get it a little bit. Oh God, I know that was you. Oh my God, what was that? Was that a vision, a dream? What do you want me to do? Oh, you know, but the presence of God was so strong in that bedroom. How many of you have sensed the presence of God like that? Where, I mean, he was just so strong, you feel him. You know, I think sometimes in the Word of Faith camp, we throw out feelings too quickly. We throw out feelings because we know that we're not moved by anything but the Word of God, and that is true. We believe the Bible, but we also need to realize there are times that He will manifest His presence in a way that your flesh knows He's God. Are you with me? And I don't know about you, but I like having that feeling. Now, I don't live on, if I don't have that feeling, then it's just not God and I'm not moving. Now, come on now. We know the Bible, we know the Word, and we're going to speak the Word, and the Word is what moves us, but it doesn't mean that I can't sense His presence. It doesn't mean that I can't enjoy who He is. Amen? How many of you love to enjoy the presence of the Lord? Haven't you enjoyed Robin? I mean, having her play and sing and I mean, it's awesome. Oh my goodness. You know, she ushers us into the presence of God. And I heard this morning she did it again. And you guys had such a wonderful prayer time. But the presence of God, His presence is tangible. And we need to make sure we're engaging His presence. If you've got a dull prayer life, a dull relationship with God, it's not His fault. It's ours. Notice I said ours, but when I really wanted to say, it's yours. I used to teach all the students all the time, there's no reason to have a dull prayer time. If you're having a dull prayer time, it's either because you're sleepy, you're tired, or you don't believe that you're engaging Him. You don't believe that He's your reality. He's not more real to you than anything else in life. Are you with me? How do we make God our reality? By meditating on the Word and getting our words out there and start talking it, but spending time with Him. The more time I spend with my husband, the more I want to spend time with Him. You might say, honey, girl, you got a good marriage because I won't be doing that. Guys, if your marriage is on the rocks and it's not where it should be, then it's time for you to put faith on, begin for you to start stepping out by faith and wanting to do something with your husband. Well, he talks ugly. He does this. He does that. Guys, then that means you've got to do, you got to act opposite of what you're receiving. Did you just hear me? You got to step out by faith. You've got to believe that He is the man that God gave you. And you've got to believe that He's everything that He's supposed to be. And you pray for Him. You love Him. And then you undergird Him even when you're wanting to knock His lights out. You guys laugh like you've done this before. How many of you wanted to knock somebody's lights out, you know? You know, I mean, as long as you don't do it, you know, that thought might come, but you kick that thought out, you know? But guys, our reality should be God. Our reality, having intimacy with Him and fellowship and communion with Him, your personal time with Him, your personal time with God should be a time where you sense His presence. You shouldn't have a dull prayer time. And I have said this for years there on campus to the students. If you're having a dull prayer time, it's because you're not engaging Him and you're not putting your heart into it by faith. Are you with me? We have to use our faith in our relationship with Him. We have to use our faith, meaning this. I don't feel like praying all the time, but you're not going to hear me sound like I don't want to pray. When I engage Him, I'm not going to pray from a place of, oh, dear God, how long has it been? 33 seconds. No, I don't ever let myself do anything like that. I engage Him because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that when I speak in an unknown tongue, I'm speaking unto God, right? My God, John 4:24, says He is a spirit. Over in Genesis chapter 1 says that He made you like Him. So that means you're a spirit. Do you believe that you're a spirit or not? What did you say Annie said today about a spirit? You need to be good at being a spirit. When Jim told us that on the way here, I was like, that is so true. We have to get good at being a spirit and believing that we are. And if you don't know that you are, get in the book. The book plainly explains it. It tells us who God is. Then it goes over into Genesis and it tells us that he made us like him. Right? Yes. He's given us his Holy Spirit to live and dwell on the inside of us, that he will pray through us. He will help us. He will help us engage the heart of the Father when we pray in an unknown tongue. I like one translation of Romans 8:26 that says, the Holy Spirit helps me to articulate the very heart of the Father. When we believe the Bible for what it is and not get so comfortable and, well, this is how I do church and this is how I believe and this is what this is. And, you know, I've been going to church here at Redeeming Love. How old is the church now? 41 years. Wow, that's older than I am. But you think about it. I've been in church ever since I was born. I was in the Pentecostal church. And then at 18, I was at Rhema. And guys, the word, got in me. It changed me. I got so much zeal and excitement about the truth. And then I started doing life and got busy in ministry and life. And what happens if you're not careful? You become complacent. Are we complacent in the church, in our relationship with God? Have we become complacent and thinking, well, this is how it is? How many of you know demonstration of our fellowship and relationship with God should be happening all the time? We should be hearing him, sensing him, visions, dreams. We should be manifesting his glory. We should be operating and walking in him. And I believe that we are. But I believe that we need to waken ourselves and speak about it in faith. I'll never forget when John 14, 14, 16 and 17 became real to me. The spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know. Jesus said this to the disciples. He said, the spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him because he's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. He was talking, Jesus was talking. Hey guys, the Holy Ghost, you know him because he's like me and he's coming to the earth and he's going to live in you. You know him. But how many of us in the church have read a scripture like that and go, oh, uh-huh. And we have absolutely no revelation of it. How many times did you hear Brother Hagin or some minister speak on a verse, Brother Hagin, Mark 11, 23, 24, and you didn't get it for quite a few times of listening to the message over and over again. And all of a sudden, boom. The lights got turned on. How many of you like it when the lights get turned on? You can see. Revelation light has come. And you see the word for what it is. Don't you know God is waiting for the body of Christ to fully wake up and see what he's given? Fully wake up and have us be operating in the fullness of our relationship with him. Guys, Paul had a great relationship in the word with the Father. Why should he have a better relationship than what we do now? We should have been growing, going from glory to glory. You know that, you know? We should be going deeper and further than we've ever gone. How many of you know to go deeper and to go further, it's just up to you? Right? I'm not preaching some message that you haven't heard. Come on, think about it. If you want to go deeper in God, God's not tying your arms up and saying, no, you can't have it. That's not God. He is wide open and he's waiting for someone to speak in faith. He's waiting for someone to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and then step out and do it. God told Abraham to move and he told him to go. He didn't tell Abraham where to go. And so Abraham could have sit around for years, decades. He could have sat around decades. Well, I'm still waiting on the Lord. I'm still waiting. God said, go. And Abraham believed so much in what God told him that he stepped out and he went. And when he stepped out, guess what happened? The blessings of the Lord did what? Overtook him. And when he stepped out by faith, there were others that believed in what God told him and followed him. I believe that God has given many people in this room direction, has given you vision. He's spoken some things into your heart, whether through a dream or a vision or through a prayer time, or just all of a sudden the Spirit of God said something and you knew it was him. Guys, a new chapter has happened in my husband and my life. And that new chapter happened back in, it's been 6 years ago is when it started. 6 years ago at least. And I was still working at Rhema at the Prayer and Healing Center. And I'm in there working with the morning healing school technicians. We're praying. We're praying before those that are attending healing school that are coming in. We had about 25 healing technicians. I'm in there and I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And the Spirit of God led us off in praying about the body of Christ and the church. And we started praying for the church to begin to operate out of who they are in Christ, for the body to rise up and to have eyes seeing and ears hearing, knowing what the Spirit of God was wanting them to do. Just an in-him reality church, that it just wasn't an in-him reality from the pastor just preaching it, but he preached it so much that it got into the hearts of the people and it got into all the workers, that the children's department, the kids were rising up and they're believing that, hey, I'm Jesus in the earth. Can you imagine being around a kid that believes that? Yeah. Youth that thinks, yeah, I can take my school. Are you with me? And so we're in there and we're praying. It's supposed to be healing school. And we step so far over in the Spirit, praying out this wonderful church, the body of Christ. And all of a sudden I realized, man, we're going past time. Guys, we got to stop. Healing school's got to start in 15 minutes. And I said, let's get it all going. And I walked out the door, was going down the hallway. And the Spirit of God said, you know that church that I just pray, that you were just praying about and I talked to you about? I go, yeah. He said, that's your church. I go, I rebuke that right now in the name of Jesus. Because I'd been an itinerant for so long, I enjoy popping in and popping out of a church. And I was like, no, I don't want to do that. Got back to my office and I repented because I know the voice of the Lord. And I told him, I said, Father, forgive me. I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I shouldn't have rebuked you. But no, man, we're not pastors. We don't want to be a pastor. I like being an itinerant and working here at Rhema and doing what we're doing, training up ministers. I don't want to do that. Just confirmation sitting there right at my desk. And I was like, oh, Lordy, Lordy. Went home that evening, talked to Jerry for a minute while we were watching something on TV, paused the TV, said, hon, let me tell you what happened. I told him, I said, doesn't that sound like an awesome church? He goes, yeah, it sounds like a great church, but it's not us. I go, I know. Went back to watching the TV again. And then I paused it, and then I turned and I looked at him. I said, but honey, if we ever did it, we would bombard a city with the team fully loaded. And I said, the gifts of the Spirit would be in operation in every department. The move of the Spirit of God, the glory of God would be manifested. And I just begin to speak all this stuff. And I knew down on my insider in my knower that I was prophesying, but I didn't want to act like I knew. And I looked at him and he goes, yep, that's how we do it, hon. That's how we do it. But we're not doing it. I go, I know we're not. Boom. Went back to watching TV. You know, God will tell us things. He'll even put us over into a prayer time where we're praying stuff out. He'll even reveal it. And our flesh will fight him every way we can to get out of what he's saying, because our flesh wants to dictate what our world is going to be like. I'm saying this because Baskidelo Vrushka Egerofranzi Kelebresi Kelevine. For I've called you to operate in many giftings, but you've stepped aside. For there are knowings that you have down on the inside of you that are to be. And you know that I've called you for more, and it's up to you to step over, for your eyes are to see. See, that's what the Spirit of God is saying tonight. He's saying, wake up. You know, I tell you what, we all got flesh. Oh my goodness. Look at the person next to you and say, you got flesh. But what you have more is the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you, where we know him. Jesus said we do. We know him. And he begins to speak through us, pray through us, his plans and his purposes. Now, the Spirit of God said, Leanne, tell him to read Habakkuk chapter 2. You know that verse, right? Write that vision down. Write that vision down. Make it plain on tables. In other words, write it down in a prayer journal. What has God said to you? Oh man, I'm too old now. I've waited too long. It can't happen. Are you kidding me? Age is only a number, Jim. Age is, I'm sorry, it was your birthday and it was a big one. Age is only a number. You know why I can say that? Is because we now, my husband and I, have stepped out and we're in the launch process time of the church. And it took us a little bit to get there because he had to do a lot of persuading, because I'm an inspirational speaker. And I'm thinking, I'm not a teacher. How can that be? I go in and inspire the church and they get excited and hallelujah, and then I leave. You know, and God had to deal with me. And this is the scripture he gave me in Psalms. Unless God builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. I go, oh yeah, you're going to build it. You're going to do it. And then he reminded me, you know, you're not the only one in this. I called your husband too. I go, oh yeah, that's good. Because see, we'll get so focused on us. And if you're married, thank God, there is a support system there. And a calling on him to teach. Guys, I'm telling you, so often we will step out of what God wants for us because we begin to reason it out. I mean, how does our world change? What did Jesus, what did he tell us? How did he tell us to change our world? Speak! Isn't that easy? If speaking isn't the easiest thing in the world, come on now. Look how often you're on your phone. Look how often you telling everybody your business. How often you sharing stuff about your kids or your grandkids. Are you with me? How often you talking about you? We can get our mouth going, oh, and then we get in the church. I remember growing up in my Pentecostal church, my pastor, he was my uncle, and he would call on different ones. It wasn't anything planned. He would always call it right in the middle of the service. Sister so-and-so, come on up to sing. And it would drive me nuts, even a kid sitting there, and that person that he called on go, oh no, don't call on me. Took him 15 minutes of the service just to get them to come up to sing a song. And it's just like, ugh. Make the service about you, and you gossip all the time, sister so-and-so. You talk about everybody, and you I couldn't sing for the Lord. I don't need to come up there, you know. And it's just like, are you serious? We can use our mouth and talk. Why don't we start talking about what we need to talk about? Why don't we start talking about kingdom business? You know, when Jesus was in the earth, he said, I don't talk about me. Who did he talk about? Father. When I read that one day, I was like, man, if ministers really would read that verse, they'd shut up teaching their own messages. Because what we're supposed to do is get up and reveal him. We're supposed to get up and show him. How many of you know our personalities can get too tangled up into who he is when he's supposed to get all tangled up into us? Greater is he that is within us and you than he that's in the world. And the only way that God is going to be able to be who he really wants to be in every aspect of your life, your ministry, and everything about you is when we learn to engage him and spend time with him and pray in the Spirit. I don't know about you, for those of you that are 50 or more, I know when I hit 50, Jim hit it a long time ago, but when I hit 50, I'm not going to look over there, but when I hit 50, it seemed like life changed a bit for me. I didn't care anymore how I said something when I was preaching anymore because I had nothing to prove to nobody. I've had my own walk in the Lord. I've lived in Christ my whole life. I have my own relationship with him, and I want everybody to have what I've got. And I'm going to make it as simplistic and as real as possible for everybody to live a life in Christ and engage him, know him. I remember when I was a student, I would watch Brother Hagin, and he would have this wonderful prayer life, and he would share stories. How many of you have heard Brother Hagin before? And you would listen to a storytelling, and he would tell us things and over again, and things that would happen in his faith and his relation. And I remember sitting there going, am I going to be able to do that? I don't know. And then moves of the Spirit would happen in the seminars, fall seminar, spring seminar. Jeannie Wilkerson, you know, a prophetess that Brother Hagin so had a good prayer connection with. She would come up on the platform and she would begin to demonstrate the Spirit of God would move through her. And it would be so amazing. And then Brother Hagin would move. And I mean, there were just times, I'll never forget one service that Patsy Caminetti, she got up. And Brother Hagin called on her at the end of a service, and he said, Patsy, sing something. And she went and whispered in Brother Hagin's ear, and she came back, and she went over to Bruce Black, who's in glory now, and said to Bruce, I want you to play the trumpet, and then I'm going to interpret it in song. And I'm a kid, you know, I'm like 18, 19 years old, sitting there in that service. And I remember going, oh my, I want to do that. Oh, you have to be really spiritual to be able to do something like that. Oh, you've got to be really called. You got to be really gifted. And your head, you start tearing yourself down. I could never do that. I could never, ever. Oh no, I couldn't. You know, but that night when that happened, Bruce began to play and he stopped. And then Patsy began to sing it out. And they did that, I don't know how many times, 3 or 4 different times. And it was so awesome about the body, you know, that there's a sound. And it was just so amazing. But I had the mentality, I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to do anything. I want to be spiritual. And it got so in my head that I couldn't do it, that for a season, I didn't grow that much in my prayer life or in my relationship with the Lord because I was thinking I couldn't do it. That's just for a selected few. Are you with me? Did you know that God wants to operate through every single one of you? Did you know that God wants to talk to you tonight when you go to bed? Did you know that God wants you to move out with him and operate in some supernatural things in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your church? Did you know that God just wants to have fun with you? Are you with me, guys? And I'll never forget it. Thank God. God knew what he was doing. He put me with Jim. We started doing prayer school. And I had him always saying, Leanne, do this. Leanne, do that. And I would be thinking, But you know what truly helped me was when he would get after me to do something. And then when I got revelation of John chapter 14, verse 17, I know the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, I know the Holy Ghost. I know him. I know him. I'm sitting in prayer school. How many of you heard me the last time I was here? It's quite a few years ago. Some of you have. And you remember a story that I shared with you, how that I was in prayer school. Jim had just got up to speak, and he turned to John chapter 14 that day. I think he read almost the whole chapter. When he got to verse 17, that's when my life changed. He read verse 17. He kept going, but I couldn't leave that verse. And it said, the spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him. He's going to live and dwell on the inside of you. Well, I sat there, and I'd been in the ministry maybe 8 years at that time. And I told God, I said, I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? And when I was a student, Brother Hagin always was doing healing school, and the glory cloud would come in the room, and Brother Hagin would say, well, the glory's coming in the room. I can't see the sound guys back there. And as a Rhema student, I was sitting right behind Mom Hagin as a volunteer. I would turn around to see the glory, and I never could see it, and it made me mad. And I was like, I don't see it. And then I'd turn back, and I'd look at Brother Hagin on the platform. This happened so many times. And he'd say, it's getting thicker now. It's coming in like a cloud. Now I can't see half of you sitting out there. You guys still there? And everybody would giggle. And I'd turn around to see if I could see the glory still. I'd turn back around. And then Dad said, well, he goes, the glory's so thick now, I don't see any of you. And he said, in fact, I can't even see my hand in front of my face. And I remember sitting over there saying, dear God, I can see your hand, your head, your face, and everything. I wanted to see the glory, but I wasn't seeing it. Now, fast forward to 8 years later, I'm sitting in prayer school. Rhema grad, had been a youth pastor for so many years, and then God told me to come back to Rhema and serve. And so there I am, and I had already started traveling in the ministry, preaching in churches. And now I'm sitting there, Jim's reading the scriptures, and I got stuck. The spirit of truth, the world doesn't see or know, but you know him. And I sat there, and I told the Father, and I told the Lord, I don't know you. If I know you so well, now, of course, I didn't say it out loud. Jim didn't look over at me and say, Leanne, can you bring it down? That was on the inside. I'm talking to him. I'm engaging him in conversation right there in the service, but quietly. I don't know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud when it comes in the room? If I know you so well, why don't I sense the healing anointing when it is present? Why do I have to wait for Pastor Hagin or some pastor, or some minister? Oh, the healing anointing is here. I want to know before them. And if I know you so well, why have I made mistakes in my life? I don't know you. And as I'm sitting there on the front row, Jim's still teaching there in prayer school, and I heard the Spirit of God say, you're calling me a liar. Now, when he said that to me, I think what's funny is I'm hearing him the whole time talking to me. If I didn't know him, why am I responding to him? How many have ever been goofy like that? Spirit of God just talking to you plain as day, and you're just acting like you don't know squat. And then I went right back into it. I don't feel like I know you. If I know you so well, why don't I see the glory cloud? I went through the whole thing. And the Spirit of God said to me again, you're calling me a liar. And I was like, some people would have repented, gotten baptized all over again, but not me. I said, no, I don't feel like I know you. I went through the whole thing all over again. And then he said to me, how did you get saved? I thought he was making fun of me. He was there, you know. And I was like, huh? And I said, well, I confessed. And then the light bulb turned on. Ding, 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 ding. The bell got rang. I was like, come on now. So here the truth was. How did I get saved? How'd you get saved? How many of you confess Jesus as the Lord of your life? How many of you believe John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and you confessed him as your Lord and Savior, received him? Well, I was like, oh my goodness, here I am a Rhema grad. Rhema grad, have this truth on the inside of me. Been in the ministry now for 8 years, and I finally got revelation. If you confess the word, it will work for you. And so I went home that afternoon, and I set my Bible and my books and stuff down on my nightstand or chest. I can't remember where it was in the bedroom. And I stood there. I said, Holy Ghost, guess what I found out today? I found out that I know you. And guys, I would love to say that maybe a dove flew by or the blind shook or something supernatural happened. Nothing happened. It was dead quiet in that room. And I just go, I'm so glad that I know you. You're more real to me than anything else in life. See, what was I doing? I was working the word. Guys, you can work the word, speak the word, and the word will manifest, right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? And guys, I started confessing the word, speaking the word, declaring the truth. And as I was doing this, I was building a foundation for my walk in God to grow. I wouldn't have to look to Jim or to Brother Hagin or to anybody to say, oh, you got it. You got it. I had more confidence in my own walk in relationship with God. I have confidence in my relationship with my husband. I don't know about your marriage. I know about mine. I know about my relationship with him. I hear stories of some of your relationships with the Lord, but my confidence comes from my walk with him. And so my confidence began to grow as I begin to meditate the word, Holy Spirit, I know you. You're real to me. You're more real to me than anything else in life. Jesus said, I know you. I know you. And in the natural, I didn't feel like I knew him anymore, but I got my words out there. If you speak what the word says, guess what? It will be manifested in your life. If you speak the truth, it is. And the reality of it becomes your reality, and you begin to live from a different place of living out of a place of engaging him, engaging his word, engaging the reality of his presence. And so I did that for 2 weeks. I changed my talk, changed my walk. And I'll never forget it, sitting in prayer school, just did the music again. I'm sitting over on the side, Jim is up teaching again. And all of a sudden, I saw smoke coming through the cracks of the door, corner of the room. And immediately I thought, what's on fire in the hallway? We need to evacuate the building. And then I'm thinking, what should I do? Why aren't the ushers looking at me? Because Jim is teaching. I would tell them, go check it out. And I'm like, well, I guess I better go check it out. Should I just go tell Jim, look? What should I do? All these thoughts going through my mind, but this smoke kept getting thicker and it covered that usher that was over in the corner. And then all of a sudden, when I realized he was looking straight through it and just listening to the message, all of a sudden I got spiritual and I realized, oh, that's the glory. That's the glory of God. Because that guy ain't saying nothing. I'd been there. And I'm like, man, oh my, it covered this whole section, began to cover this section, then it covered the podium where Jim was standing. And I remember it to this day. He pushed his Bible over to the side and he goes, well, the glory of God just came in the room. And I remember sitting over there going, ha, I saw it before you did. That day, I'll never forget it. I saw the glory of God fill the place. People got healed. Things happened, and I was like, oh, wow. And you know, my whole life in ministry changed on that day. Some would say, oh, because you saw the glory? No. It was because I spoke the word, I confessed the word, I declared the word that I know the Holy Ghost, and when I kept speaking it, then what happened? I'm sitting in prayer school, and I saw the glory for the first time. And then I begin to realize, I've been seeing him a lot and didn't know it was him. Isn't it amazing that when you speak the word, how it will manifest in your life? You know him. But nobody knows me, you know, and I haven't been saved for long. Who cares? If the word says you know the Spirit of God, you know him. Look at your neighbor and tell him, you know the Holy Ghost. When you pray from the revelation, I know him. You won't have a dull time. You won't. Because I know that when I pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit within me is helping me pray out the heart of the Father. And as I'm praying, he's helping me to articulate. And I believe in this. Well, I don't understand a thing I'm saying. Who cares? Your spirit is praying. You have been so infused with the Holy Spirit, and you are praying out of your heart to him. And if you'll begin to pray from a place, yep, I know, yep, I see. And guess what happens? You will begin to interpret what you're even praying in tongues at times. I mean, we were doing prayer school live the other night, and as we begin to pray, immediately words in English were just coming out. I would pray in tongues and I'd know what I was saying. And so I'd speak it out. I'd speak it out. I'd speak it out. There have been times I've been in services and I'd be praying. And then all of a sudden, revelation, boom, I'm seeing the whole thing. I know that there's been times that we've been out ministering. I remember preaching in Georgia. And while we were in Georgia, I'll never forget it. This is before we had told anybody about a church or anything about anything. And there we are. Getting ready to do a women's conference. Four churches had come together. We're at a retreat place up in the mountains and all that. I think it was the mountains. I don't know. We were somewhere in Georgia. Does Georgia have mountains? It was real pretty. But anyway, I remember being out there in our hotel room, and Jerry had went to go get food to eat. And I'm studying because I'm getting ready to preach at night. I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, here I am praying about these ladies and praying about these meetings. And then all of a sudden, I'm in our church. I'm in the hotel room. But I left in the spirit and stood on the platform of our church. And as I stood on that platform, God began to speak to me, and he showed me things about the congregation and the people and how things were going to operate within the church. Tears begin to stream down my face. About that time, Jerry opened the door, and I had just finished praying, and because I was sobbing, and he's like, whoa, what happened? And I began to share with him what I had seen. And see, this is what we as the body, we've got to remember, guys. We've got to yield to him so that he can pray through us his heart. And then as we yield to him, he'll reveal things to you. As he said, Habakkuk chapter 2, write the vision down. I'm getting ready to close. But to write the vision down, he's been speaking. He'll speak to you at times in prayer. And he'll reveal things. He'll show you things. Don't wipe it off. Oh, that's just me. Oh, that's just me. We could have done this all about the church that we're getting ready to launch. You know, we've never invited a single person to come and help us. And we've had people move from different places. We've got 30 people that have come to help us do this work. We even have a couple that just recently moved from Sweden because they believe in the vision and the mandate. Write the vision down. Write the vision down. We've already got Two associate pastors. We already have our children's pastor, our youth pastors, and God's brought them to us. And a lot of them are Rhema grads, which we are so thankful to God for. But see, when you get in your God place and your relationship with him and pray from a place, huh, I know you, and you stay vertical with him, then he'll begin to pray through you and reveal to you the future. And then it will be up to you. Now, he told Abraham to go. Abraham didn't hang out and say, well, it doesn't feel good, Lord. Oh, we ain't got the money. Oh, you haven't told us. Now, when you tell us where, we'll do it. Have you ever found that when God tells you something, if you take one step in faith, then the next step is revealed? Have you noticed that? See, we try to compare our relationship with our Father God to things that we do in this natural realm. God is a spirit. He's made you a spirit being. He's called you to live out of the kingdom of heaven here in the earth. The song she was singing earlier, you know, I hadn't heard that one. And did you write that one? Bind? No. And I was like, what you bind on earth, what you bind in heaven, you loose on earth, or whatever, however you say the scripture. It's in Matthew, what, 18? Come on, Annie, tell me where it's at. But, you know, you start singing songs and singing things in victory and living out of the kingdom of heaven here in this earth. How are you going to do it? You know, Brother Hagin's in heaven. Did you know Clinton Utterbach is already enjoying glory for some years now? He is. And thank God he is. He got to go before we did. And he's going to be in our future. He's going to be in our everyday. I know Pastor Sarah's most person, probably the most joyful one about that, is to have him in her, to have him in her everyday again. But guys, heaven, life down on this earth is a vapor of time, and then we're all there. Are you with me? My daddy went to heaven. Now my mama has went to heaven. And I'll tell you, it's the more I begin to speak out of my mouth the reality of my mom's where she wants to be, and she's happy. Because she's happy, I'm happy. And you get your words out there. See, we're speaking spirits. We're supposed to be speaking. We should be talking. We should be declaring what the word is. Holy Spirit, I know you because I know you. I know what to do. You should never let a word come out of your mouth as a believer. I don't know what to do. What? You've got the third person of the Godhead on the inside of you, and you know all things. That's what the Bible says. 1 John 2:20 says you've got an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. You might not understand every intricate detail of the plan, just like Jerry and I. We didn't know where the church was going to be. We tried to figure it out. We even put the iPad and got the states all out on the iPad. And we're just like, Father, we just thank you. You're revealing it to us in Jesus' name. And I heard the Spirit of God just say to me plain as day, I'm not going to tell you yet. I was like, well, why not? He said, because you'd get yourself too wrapped up into it in your head. And you know, it was months and months before he told us where the church was going to be. And how he led us, it was so simple. People think, oh, did he shout it like a trumpet? No. We just started having knowings. Jerry supernaturally traveled through this town. And then he had me go with him through that town. And it was like, oh, you know, this is pretty, because we would travel through Texas often because I have family in Texas. And this particular town was just so pretty to us. It had a beautiful lake and sailboats and wow. And one time we came through and we were just like, Father, could this be it? Could this be it? We even went and sat out by the lake. Father, is this it? Is this it? I'm not going to tell you yet. I'm like, why? Because you're going to get your head wrapped around anything and try to figure it all out. You know, it was still months after that before we knew. And it's too long of a story, but I'll never forget having knowings in my heart. Again, praying with the healing school technicians. See, we make things hard. I'm just doing my business. I'm doing kingdom business. In there praying with the healing school technicians. And it just had a knowing. It's Rockwall, Texas. I went to my office and Jerry came to my office and he said, "Hun, I believe I know where it's at." Is that how you said it? What'd you do? I said that. Then what did you say? So he said he knew. And when we came together that day in my office, we knew it was Rockwall, Texas, of all places. I never wanted to live in Texas. Ew. It's hot all the time. I don't like hot. Christmas is never white. What's fun with that? I'm from Indiana. We have all seasons. We have blizzards. We have snow. I love it all. My family, my parents all moved to Texas because one of my sisters pioneered a church, has a mega church, 9,000 members or so and everything. And so every holiday we'd end up having to go there. And Thanksgiving would be hot. Christmas Eve would be hot. Christmas Day would be hot. That's not fun. I like white Christmas. I like cold for the holidays. I'm sorry, I wouldn't want to be a Floridian for the holidays. You know, that's just me. But guys, God started dealing with us. And then in April of 2019, just a month or two later, he woke me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He said, get paper and pen and go to the living room. I went and I sat down in my living room. The moment I sat down, the pen didn't stop for a while. And he began to say, Rockwall is the place that I've called you to be. A mandate, a voice. And then later, and he told us, he said, you're going to sell your house in 2 days for top dollar. And we went to the Urus' church and was preaching for them. And I'll never forget it. They picked us up from the airport. Jerry and I are sitting in the back seat and we're all talking and everything. And Jerry picked up his phone and he showed it to me. Because we had just listed the house and we already had how many offers? We had 2 offers at that time. And you know, that house sold in 2 days. While we were preaching the gospel at their church, the house sold in 2 days, just like God said. You can't tell me that God doesn't speak and then prove himself. Your relationship with God is not any smaller or larger than mine. God loves us all the same, but it's for those that will engage him. Look at your neighbor and say, engage him. I'll be honest, there's been times I've been carnal. I know it's hard for you to believe that about me. I'm so spiritual, but I've been carnal. And even in those carnal moments, you know, he'll engage me. How many of you had that happen? He'll engage you. And he'll begin to say something to you. Before you know it, you're just like, oh, Father, yeah, yeah. And then your fellowship and relationship and communion is happening. Guys, I say all of this about the church and what God's calling us to do. And by the way, you know, later we begin to realize, you know, that was the first place that Brother Hagin had his first visitation of Jesus was in Rockwall, Texas. And Jerry and I were like, oh, Pat Harrison, you know, Brother Hagin's daughter. I've been her, an armor bearer to her for many, many years. And she called me and said, Leanne, I want to come out and visit you. And so she came and stayed with us a couple of days. And we drove her all over the area. I mean, we went to Garland, we went to McKinney, we went to all these towns that she grew up in and was telling Brother Hagin stories, her and Buddy stories. We were having just a hee-haw time, you know, to think here we are in the area. I mean, Farmersville, where Dad pastored a church, is 18 miles from our house. And I was listening to Brother Hagin the other day, and he even named the little town that we're living in right now that's outside of Rockwall that he used to preach in the Assembly of God in Wiley, Texas. I was like, God, why? Well, I was just like, Brother Hagin, you brought me to Rockwall, Texas. You brought me to this. I'm going to have visitations of Jesus. I think there is something significant about it. But guys, God has called you. And for there are many in this room that I've called you to stand. I've called you to stand and proclaim in this land. And I'm asking you to rise up and shake off the dust and begin to speak from a place that you know that I've ordained you to live. Just because you've gotten caught up at looking at things in this natural realm doesn't mean that you can snap out of that and start living out of the reality that you truly know. So come back and speak from this place of faith that you've grown. Grow and declare that which I've given you to say, and you'll find out that your life will shift and it will change. So come on in, engage my presence, and you'll see that the reality of who I am is still in your being. Guys, how many of you are thankful that that's true? The He's in us, the reality of the greater one. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Huh. He is talking to many of you in this room. He's speaking to all of us, but to many about callings. Oh, I'm too old. Don't speak that. Don't think that. Speak opposite. Speak opposite. Huh. You know, right there, he was just saying, dare to see the day for what it is in him, not what we see in this natural realm, you see. For the reality of heaven is our reality if we'll step out and declare and speak. What has he called you to do? What has he called you to step over into? First of all, communion, fellowship, relationship with him. Relationship with him. Engaging him. It's all about us knowing you, Father, and living out of this relationship with you. With heads bowed, hearts looking to him. Some of you just need to open your heart wide. I'm here, Lord. I'm listening to you. From a fresh place of revelation and taking hold of all that you're to do, speak, pray, and do. Huh. Revelation. Revelation light. With heads bowed, eyes closed, and if you believe that what was even shared tonight and what has been sung is you, raise your hand up real high. Yep, I see all those hands. Yeah, yeah, Yeah. So then he's saying, come on in. Come on in. Spend time with me. Yes. I'll show it again. I'll show it again. I'll reveal it again and again and again. Your heart will shout, amen, amen. Step out in faith and live this life in victory, engaging Him. Oh, we worship You. Let's lift our hands up. We worship You. Reality of You is mine. I'm learning how to be a spirit-led woman, man, filled to overflowing with You, understanding. He also just said to me, he said, you tell them that many are going to have some dreams tonight in Me. Some already have been seeing things in the service tonight. And all he's saying is, it's Me. It's Me. And it shall come to pass. Habakkuk 2, write the vision down. Terry, wait for it. Because it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Hallelujah. Jim, did you have anything you wanted to say? No. No. Prayer School Live, you've probably realized we've went a few moments late while we're here with this beautiful church family. We want you to know that we love you and that what we did here, and even those that are streaming online here at Redeeming Love Christian Center, everything that happened tonight was for you too. That we have a reality, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is real. We're in communion with Him. We're in fellowship with Him. And we're going deeper. We're going to fulfill the will of God. Amen.